Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'll call the September 7th meeting of the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chair Hansett?
Here.
Deputy Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Legislator Bowen?
Here.
Legislator Fabiano? Legislator Uchitel?
Here.
Four present, one absent.
Very good, thank you. Can we say the Pledge of Allegiance? And our gentleman guest here, would you like to lead us in the pledge, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we're going to do approval of the August 3rd, 2023 meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes of that meeting? Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the August 3rd meeting?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? The minutes are approved. So last month we had someone from Crime Victims here to do a little quick presentation, and it went really well. I think we all learned something there. So tonight we have our Emergency Services Director Erickson and Deputy Director Gaffney to speak about Fire Coordinator Division of the Department, and also they have, let's see, I want to get this right, Fire Training Coordinator Will Farrell. So you gentlemen have the floor. It's all yours.
Thank you, Chair. So Mike Gaffney, Deputy Director, he's been with our department for over 18 years, served as, worked right up through the ranks as a dispatcher, dispatch supervisor, to Deputy Director overseeing 911 emergency communications, and then he lateraled over to fill the Fire Coordinator, Deputy Director's position. Will Farrell, he's a City Kingston fireman, and has been an instructor for, 8 years now?
8 years.
8 years now. As a county fire instructor, and then recently took over coordinating all the training at our training center. So the department itself has grown over the past 8+ years. It started off actually as just emergency communications and emergency management. And then as things evolved, emergency services evolved, a lot of different offices throughout the county were brought underneath the auspices of this department. And that's why it's called the Department of Emergency Services now. So the director, confidential secretary, and then you have your divisions, Division of Fire Services, Division of Emergency Communication, Division of Emergency Management, Emergency Medical Services, and then we have a Fire Investigation Unit. So specifically today, Mike is here to talk to us about his division, Division of Fire Services, which kind of branches out into two different units, training, and then the battalion coordinators, which respond to actual incidents. So I'll let Mike kind of go over that, the responsibilities of the division, and go from there.
Good evening. So I'm really fortunate because I come to work every day and no 2 days are the same. Obviously some days are better than others, but basically the fire coordinator position oversees all of the training that the fire service and the volunteer firefighters get every year. And then I also have 6 battalion coordinators that are under me. The county's split into 6 fire battalions based off of geography. So each battalion has a battalion coordinator. Their job is to really work with all their departments within their each battalion and respond to their major incidents. So Battalion 1, for example, Centerville, Cedar Grove, they get a house fire or some sort of significant incident, the battalion coordinator for that area, Chris Warad, he goes, he responds, helps them make sure that they don't need anything further, any more resources. In a house fire situation, if the Red Cross is needed, he would be the point of contact to oversee that. In one of their absences, if they're not available, I can step in and fulfill that role, or if the incident rises to a certain level, you know, if it's kind of beyond your routine house fire, so to speak, then obviously I can come in and assist as well. There's just a layout of the different battalions. So a couple years back, Everett and I were working on this. We had four battalions. We were lucky enough to get two additional coordinators hired on, which made us expand to six. And so our thought process behind that was kind of taking the major routes and the corridors and clumping them together. So if you look at Battalion 6, which is on the top of the sheet, that's basically your 28 corridor, right? And it runs from West Hurley all the way out to the county line. 1st Battalion up at the northeast corner is the town of Saugerties, town of Ulster, and the various routes through there. So 87, 20, actually not 209, but 9W, 32, right? And then you'll notice that the 2nd Battalion is a little funky how it's really thin but long. Basically, that's for 87 and 32. So Kevin McGuire, he covers that for me. He lives in New Paltz, and he has territory all the way up into the city of Kingston. The best battalion, in my opinion, which of course is the 3rd, covering Esopus, Lloyd, and Marlborough. And then our 4th Battalion along the bottom covers Shongham, Gardner, and Plattekill. And then we get what I call the Mountain Battalion out there in the 5th, which is Borsing, Accord, out that way. So, call volume breakdown by the battalion in 2022. So the busiest overall was Battalion 2, over 7,100 calls. Again, that does include New Paltz and the city of Kingston, so that's the uptick there. Call-wise, the slowest battalion, if you want to call it that, would be 3, just over 1,500 calls between all the departments there. And that's strictly fire calls. That's not EMS-related. So that's your fires, your automatic alarms, your car accidents, those types of incidents. And then for comparison, we do have 2023 there, which, of course, we're just 3/4 of the way through. So those numbers are obviously down, but looks like we're right on track, really, for a pretty similar year.
So can I ask a question? Is there any way to even out the numbers, or is it the way that it's divided up?
So it's
to cover ground.
Yeah, and so it's kind of using that corridor mentality, so it's just the way that, you know, busier roads, more calls.
Okay.
If you get also, if you look at the battalions here, Battalion 2 has the city of Kingston, which has a very high call volume due to population.
Yep.
Also, the town of Ulster, that area has a high call volume. Subsorities has a high call volume because of population. So that's why those are the two busier battalions. But this isn't calls that the battalion coordinator responds to. So it's not like Battalion 2 coordinator responds to 7,100 calls. He or she would respond. Responds to a certain amount of calls that require their response. So that's automatic fire alarms. That's, you know, auto accidents. Also, those smaller incidents that we wouldn't respond to. That's just call volume and its total. We just want you to take a look and get eyes on what, you know, the actual fire calls that occur in the county are.
Yep.
This is the county mutual aid plan. So every 5 years we update this. This goes to the state. Basically, this is just the requirements set forth by the county for each department to participate in the plan. It's reciprocal, so that, you know, they offer their services to all the departments in the county, knowing that someday they may be, you know, in need of others as well. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, it also it dictates what minimum training requirements are. So, you know, every department, there's 48 departments in the county. One's career, the other 47 are volunteer. So training requirements are different. When you have a house fire and you're requesting for an engine with manpower, you want to ensure that the firefighters that you're receiving are interior firefighters to fight that house fire. Not so much that they're sending exterior firefighters that are going to go there and they can't help. You don't want them to get there and then find out that they just sent you four exterior firefighters. You want to know that you have four interior firefighters coming soon, right? So by passing a resolution, you're stating that when you're called to assist at these incidents, you're sending these minimum requirements. So it's laid out within the plan, you know, structure fires, motor vehicle accidents, that you're getting a rescue truck and not just an engine, and so on. So it's all dictated by incident.
And the number of personnel on those vehicles.
Correct. Right. Oh, it's in the past, we've had engines show up to a house fire with just driver alone, and it's like, well, where are the firefighters? We need the firefighters.
This is our public safety training center that Will works at and maintains and keeps up to date. 5,100 square foot training building, 13 burn rooms, 3 classroom facilities, a fire behavior simulator, a vehicle fire and pressure vessel prop, propane prop. This was opened in 2019.
And there's only 3 buildings like this in New York State. Montour Falls, which is the Fire Academy, has a smaller building. And then Orange County has, I would call it the twin, to this building. But we did add an additional burn room. So they have like this large garage inside of their burn building on the first floor. We turned that into 2 rooms. So I'd say ours is a little bit better. but when it was laid out with all the fire instructors. We all worked together to come up with the plan on how what it would look like, how it would work. So we can run up to 5 different evolutions at one time. A lot of work did go into this. Prior to the development of this, we actually had a training for elected officials, which we're going to run again, hopefully in November we're looking at, and we would invite everyone to come and participate. We actually put you in firefighter turnout gear and be able to go into some live fire and experience that. I know Deputy Executive Kelly is looking forward to that. I feel like Michelle, I think you would enjoy that.
I'm excited about it.
So, but
yeah, I understand that to shade. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
Give me a call. I'll come.
we're gonna invite everybody. We had a really good time this time. And I think that it would be a good experience for everybody again, just to kind of see what everybody's doing, what it actually entails.
What's the address of that?
259 Ulster Landing Road. And if you ever want to like to do a tour, whether it's as a committee or you just want to take a look at it, we'd be happy to have you come down. I know Will would do a tour, Mike would do a tour. I love doing tours of that facility. I love talking about it. Come watch the training, you know. Everybody's training there all the time. We're running classes, so you come and take a look and see how they're training and what it entails and so on.
Yeah, that's one of the places I have not been yet, so I'm looking forward to that. So if anybody wants to join me.
Sure. So contrary to popular belief, firefighting is not just common sense and water. There's a little bit more that goes into that. Yep, much more. Know what the cops are. That's true.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. 5 extra points on the civil service exam, you could be a firefighter.
Nozzle heads. So myself and 15 other instructors provide the training to the 48 departments of the county. All 16 of us are career firemen, so we are, you know, lack of better terms, masters of our trade. We do it for a living day in and day out. Last year in 2022, we taught 53 state courses. That is just state courses, the longest one being 179 hours of training. Additionally, outside of that training, we also had another 2,900 students that we put through the training center, through the PD that comes there and uses the range. They use our building for military operations on urban terrain, stuff like that. We also have county level curriculums that we have started implementing, one of them being flashover. The new aggressive animal that we're dealing with in the fire service is modern building construction, and it's killing firefighters at record numbers. Even though the amount of structure fires we're responding to have significantly dwindled, we're dealing with more violent fires. So it's really important that it's vital that we deliver that top-notch training to all these firefighters in the county. We also have another class that we have created in the county. These are just 2 examples of classes that we've created that are far superior than the minimum training required to be delivered by the Office of Fire Prevention and Control. Another class that we developed is multi-company operations, and it is fire ground task-oriented completions that need to be done in the systematic routine. That way, all the fire ground tactics can be accomplished and be successful on the fire ground. So we put this class together where it's multiple different scenarios thrown at them at one time, like it would be on the fire ground. You know, you get a three-story building burning and there's fire on the first floor. Well, if they don't get water in place quick, where's it going? The floor above. So we run a lot of real-time, real training scenarios for these firefighters. And that's all I got. You guys got any questions?
No. Here's just some pictures of the training center being used. So this is some live fire training. We have a lot of positive interaction with the students. There's always smiles on their faces. They're definitely learning. The instructor's always having a good time with it as well. We have some great instructor camaraderie amongst all the instructors. They all work very well together. If you look at that bottom left-hand picture, the gentleman all the way to the right actually came up from Rockland County to help out one time. I mean, instructors really enjoy coming here to teach. We get a lot of positive feedback from the other counties when they come here to assist us in teaching. You know, sometimes over the summer in their summer program, which we are the one of two counties in New York State that run a summer program to the extent that we do, where we offer a multitude of different classes in a short period of time. And it's really for the students coming back from college or that are just graduating high school and going to go to college. They all have nothing but great things to say about how we run our programs. And we have great student satisfaction. To the right is one of our summer programs. They work hard. But they get a lot out of it. They're very happy. You know, they feel very accomplished at the end, which is very important that they're satisfied.
We also get a lot of students from the surrounding counties because of the level of training that we provide. A lot of the chief officers in Sullivan, Dutchess, Green, Orange, they want to send their firefighters here to have us train them.
Thanks. You have a great reputation, I can tell you that. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
No. Okay.
I know in the town of Rochester we have overlap of different fire districts like Stone Ridge, High Falls, and Conkston, Accord. How do you handle those overlaps with your battalions? You just taking calls from where the geography is?
Yeah, so it's based off of the home agency. So if the incident is in Stone Ridge and they call for assistance, then we would notify the battalion coordinator assigned to Stone Ridge. So in Marbletown, we do have that overlap where like Stone Ridge and Cottakill mutually with each other a lot. Stone Ridge being in one battalion and Cottakill being in another. But it's driven by the home department. So.
Thank you. What were you saying about the urban military training that's by the facility?
So I'm sure the sheriff could probably elaborate on a little more. So they use the building and treat it as a hostile environment for, I'm not sure,
the barricaded subjects, which we've had situations like that in the county. It's a good way to train to make sure that people that are in our emergency response team know what to do.
Our burn building is laid out like a house.
It's all about teamwork when you do these operations.
It's from floor to floor. It's laid out just like a standard
house. You said military, not me.
Yeah.
Thank you. And where did the funding for the construction come from?
So that was, it was 50% county funds, and the other 50% was that through SUNY Ulster, Chris, I believe?
Yeah, it was DASNY.
DASNY.
Dormitory.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you very much for what you do and for coming this evening. You're welcome to stay or you're welcome to leave. It's up to you.
Thank you. We have a meeting.
You have an instructor meeting.
Yeah. Thank you very much and stay safe.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
So we don't have too many resolutions this evening and... Okay, I won't take that back. So we're going to get right into resolutions, okay? So resolutions for the September 19, 2023 session. Resolution 309 is placing a spending cap of X amount of dollars on all costs related to the proposed Government Operations Center at Paradise Lane in New Paltz. I have not heard any updates from the sponsor, so I recommend that we once again take no action this evening on that. Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Moving on. Resolution number 364, establishing a restricted capital reserve fund for the Government Operations Center of the County of Ulster under Section 6C of the New York State General Municipal Law. Again, I have no update from the sponsor on this resolution either, so I recommend that we take no act. Oh, I'm sorry.
So, thank you, Chair.
I'm
not the sponsor,
apologize.
Clearly. At this point where we are, so we're finalizing our fund balance estimates with the auditors, and we're finalizing the executive budget, which will include those estimates. We're not going to take any action here tonight, I would suspect. So,
we are not.
I would say stay tuned to the budget.
Okay.
The financial pictures are changing, obviously. So to establish a $25 to $30 million capital reserve with excess fund balance may not be in the cards.
Okay.
So we're still working on it, but yeah, and we just appropriated $15 million from excess fund balance to the Housing Action Fund, so that spoke for a large portion, rightfully. So it's just, you've got about 4 weeks and then you'll see it.
Okay, very good. Is everyone okay with taking no action on that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very good. Moving on. Sheriff, we're glad you're here because all the resolutions are yours. Resolution number 474, authorizing transfer of insurance funds from revenue to expenditure, amending the 2023 Ulster County budget, Ulster County Sheriff's Department. So it's a budget transfer of $43,358 from self-insurance revenue to the sheriff's office expenditure. And any interdepartmental budget transfers requires our approval. Sheriff, would you like to speak on this?
So this is insurance money from a car that was involved in an accident to purchase another car. So it's a car that we had, was involved in an accident, and that's the funds from the insurance. I believe the county has a $5,000 deductible, so that's why it's not the full value of the vehicle.
Is there anything? Yeah, go ahead.
I was surprised by the value, by the payout for a 9-year-old car. How much are these cars worth, like mint?
I think this was a Ford Expedition.
A 9-year-old Expedition that we got $43,000 for.
It's what the insurance company insured for.
Okay.
Yeah, 2014 Ford. Any other discussion or questions? Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passed. There's four of us tonight, 4-0. The next resolution is 475, authorizing acceptance of donation of a motor vehicle. Ulster County Sheriff. This is a vehicle from Romeo Ford of Kingston for K-9 training for the Corrections Division. Would you
correct.
Like to speak
so
them?
So one of the things that we have at the jail is when people bring in things that they're not supposed to, cigarettes, marijuana, or strips, and the dog has to get trained. We have one dog. It's a K-9 dog. We'll use that car for the training of all the dogs. It's directed for the dog. That's for corrections. And it's for contraband. And so it's a donation from them to us. It's an older vehicle that they'll use for training purposes on.
Okay. Is there any discussion or questions? Chris?
What's in it for them? Taxpayer?
Say again?
What's in it for them? Why do they do that?
We get donations, like, for example, the donation of the trailer for Oracle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just people want to donate, whether it's to first responders or military. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great gesture.
Thank you. The contraband we're talking about is brought in by visitors, presumably the inmates, so they're not.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. And there are big signs in the parking lot that state that the vehicle was subject to search. So, and we have had issues with contraband.
Any other questions or discussion? Can we get a motion to adopt the resolution?
I move to adopt the resolution.
Second?
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Resolution is adopted 4-0. Resolution number 476, amending capital project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center, energy upgrades for construction services for mechanical refrigeration project, amending the 2023 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works. And would anybody
motion
like
to discuss?
Motion to discuss.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Isn't that the procedure?
Well, we've been doing it a little differently in this committee, which I really think is great, and we should do it in all committees. But
thank you.
Yeah.
You mean just discuss it first?
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes you take no action, and then the motion on the table just festers.
And then we are really taking action, so.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So. Any discussion? Or anybody want to speak on this?
Well, it's basically, the building's over 20 years old, and we're beginning to upgrade some of the systems. That is one of the projects that the Buildings and Grounds is working on. It deals with the condensers up on the roof. The other part, which will come before this committee, we had a meeting on it last week, is the boilers that they're going to upgrade. This is going to be huge. They're going to start in the spring of next year. That's a capital. So basically, it's the infrastructure that's being upgraded at the Ulster County Law Enforcement Center.
Okay. So is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passed 4-0. Our last resolution of the evening is resolution number 478, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Kingston City School District to provide a deputy sheriff as a school resource officer, Ulster County Sheriffs. So this is Miller Middle School from September 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2024. Our school resource officer. So, Sheriff?
First, I want to thank the committee for taking this resolution because it is a last-minute request from Miller School. The town of Ulster, like most of the smaller agencies, including the sheriff's office in some instances, have issues with staffing levels. And they decided they're not going to do it this year. The superintendent of schools reached out to me, and ironically, I also put out a request to members of the legislature who were interested in participating in the school resource officer training that the Division of Criminal Justice Services and the New York State Sheriff's Association were actually conducting at our building. And I want to thank Legislator Erner, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but and the chair for participating, as well as Legislator Petit, that did go to the training that week to see what the training is really about and why it's unique and important to have a school resource officer. Again, this was a last minute request. They are paying, the school board is approving to pay for this. They're paying the salary of that school resource officer, so it is a revenue to the county and a need that school board requested from this office. And as part of this county and its constituents of this office, I agreed to do that. Ultimately, is up to the legislature. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any discussion or questions?
How did you like the training?
I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was only there for the morning, and the sheriff had recommended I go that particular day if that was the only one I could make. And we heard from school psychology people. Was most of the morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we missed each other. He went in the morning. I ended up going in the afternoon. I was there by chance for special education, which is the field that I worked in for 20 years. And I was very, very impressed with the presentation that the speaker got across to the SROs on how to deal with children in the special education program and that have different plans in place. It was top notch. It was really good. I'm so glad that I was able to attend, and they gave them a real sense of how to deal with different situations, because there's a lot of different children in the school, and it was some of the best learning about special education that I've ever seen presented. So thank you for inviting me, and it was really good training. So,
Madam Chair, just one last note. First of all, I understand that the legislator had some great questions, so thank you while he was there. And then Spectrum News, it's actually on their site if you want to look at their report on the SRO training.
And then there's a graduation at the end, right? You had on Friday.
It was a 40-hour certification.
Yeah, so great. Yes, Chris? I'm sorry.
Is this, is this an existing sheriff or a new
hire? Excuse me?
Would it be an existing sheriff or new hire?
So that's a great question. The graduates that we have now are part-timers. It's definitely going to be a full-time position, which is something we're going to talk about that I put into the 2024 budget.
Thank you.
Cool.
Dave?
No.
I just saw that you emailed about the Attorney General's suggestion about SROs, but I didn't read it. Do you have any thoughts or recommendations tonight regarding that?
So, thanks. If I might,
yes.
Legislator, what you're talking about is a recommendation that I just came to my attention from the Attorney General. Concerning SROs in the Kingston School District, I just got it today, so I don't even know whether the Kingston Executive Order 203 committee, which submitted its report to the state, I don't know whether this was a response to that or whether it was a preemptive thing that the AG sent. I would assume they wouldn't just send this without being asked.
Yeah.
But I don't know that for certain. We can certainly look that up. But the thrust of it was that they had recommended. We can read the text of what it says. But I'll bring it up.
And so, one, I don't know if you've seen this.
I'm sorry?
I don't know if you've seen this.
I have not.
Okay,
we just got it right before the meeting.
Okay, so maybe we should share.
This was sent to me by a district resident. And, yes, I would like to share it with the sheriff. The letter, like I said, from the Attorney General's office is responding to the committee. Presumably the committee must have submitted something to them, because otherwise they wouldn't have anything to respond to. But they say, your plan recommends that the current agreement between the Kingston City School District and the Kingston Police Department be amended to state that children will not be subject to criminal prosecutions for offenses that represent developmentally appropriate adolescent behavior, along with other limitations on the role of SROs in schools, and in the alternative, if such a memorandum of understanding cannot be agreed upon and cannot be implemented in practice, then SROs should not be in the KCSD schools, and they have a citation. we strongly urge you to consider removing all SROs from schools. The presence of SROs often perpetuates the same policing inequities that are reflected outside schools and does not yield a benefit in increased student safety that justifies their continued presence. Accordingly, jurisdictions across the country have mounted efforts to reduce or eliminate police presence in schools. So that's what this says, and the committee and the public know where I have stood on SROs, of course, so it probably wouldn't surprise you that someone like me would bring it to you. That said, because I just got it, I haven't had a chance to determine whether and if the Kingston EO 203 committee ended up receiving this, responding to it, or anything like that. And I also have since today just spoke to one school district, I'm sorry, school board member who had been on the board when this would have come back to the board. I didn't see it actually addressed to them, but this board member confirmed to me that he remembered them seeing something, although I did not actually send it to him. So I don't know if this is exactly what he was talking about. This board member supports the SROs from his, and we can talk more about his position and so forth, but he had worked in the particular school, in fact, that this that we're contemplating right now. But in any case, so I'm informing the committee, and now, Chair Figueroa, you see that this recommendation exists from the Attorney General for you to consider.
I did not know anything about that response from the, and that's an executive order from the City of Kingston with the Kingston Police Department. It has nothing to do with this office and the Sheriff's Office and the training that we do for our SROs. I disagree with the Attorney General's assessment. She doesn't have to deal with local folks like I do. She sits up in Albany, and she's from New York City. I'm from Ulster County, and I've been a resident here since 1977. And I go back to, we need to stop using the broad brush on every single thing. I hate it when it's used on people like that look like me, and we need to stop doing that. Let's talk about individual actions that people do and the importance of individualism, which we have forgotten. I go back to the story of me walking into an expensive store in New York City when somebody got arrested that looked like me and security's following me around. It's the same concept when we talk about SROs. I think it's unfair that people have judgments like that without speaking to the individual, the schools, the parents that want this, the children, and the training that these individuals go through. I just think it's unfair.
So I have a few things I want to say. I do want to respond to that because I think it's important in these conversations to acknowledge the prejudice that people can face because of the color of their skin and the ways in which that's different than the prejudice someone might face because of the color of the uniform they've chosen to put on.
I appreciate that.
This is the first instance during my time as a legislator that we'll have an SRO request for a district that I represent. And so I take this very seriously. When it was announced that the town of Ulster was no longer going to have this agreement or be able to fulfill this agreement with the school district to place an SRO in that building, I did immediately receive outreach from the school board. Clearly this is a concern of theirs. Clearly they want an SRO in that building. The outreach was around the context of it's now been announced that there's not going to be an officer there. We're going to be unsafe. We're going to be targeted. I am still waiting for folks to send me information that shows that SROs actually make schools safer. And if that information is out there, please send it to me. I've not seen that information. What I have seen and heard is a lot of very heartfelt and, you know, I will acknowledge meaningful dialogue about the relationship that the SROs have with students, about the mentorship, about how they can kind of help determine when you know the vibes are off and they can kind of interact and say, hey, you know, take them aside. I really view that as you know, we hear a lot about how officers don't want to be social workers, or it's just too much. It's a different skill set, and I appreciate that the training helps give them some of that skill set. I really view it as a policy failure of ours collectively and specifically in the school system that we need to go outside of the education system to the law enforcement system in order to provide that level of mentorship. Personally, I can't promise what will happen on the floor in terms of my vote. I am prepared to support this tonight so that it can advance to the floor. There's obviously more to think about and talk about, perhaps, as we digest the Attorney General's recommendation that, you know, we've received. But this is clearly something that the school district is asking for, and it's a resource that is part of their policy. And at this late hour, I don't, tonight at this committee particularly, feel comfortable standing in the way of their policy, and I want to understand better how they've digested the information that they've received to come to that policy that the best mental health services that we can provide to our students are provided by law enforcement. So those are my thoughts.
Anybody else?
So I've been opposed to SROs from the beginning, and I think I've stated that. And I represent New Pulse, and you know, New Pulse is the district of New Pulse, the school district of New Pulse is against using SROs within the district. We have teachers, we have coaches, we have other, you know, we have grandparents in the school district so that children can have the support that they need. I don't think that they need that relationship building from an SRO, because there's plenty of opportunities for relationship building within the school district from all of the staff that's there, all of the volunteers that's there, and from their students' friends. In terms of the SRO training program, it's really difficult to train bias out of humans. And I'm speaking specifically to, you know, the first time I attended the law enforcement meeting, there was, the model SRO officer that came. And I'm sure he is a wonderful person, but his use of language at this table was really troubling. I will be voting no on this.
And I respect, you guys know I respect your decision. It's good to have conversation about this is a topic that really it's something that people feel strongly about. I understand New Pulse is the only school district in this county that don't have SROs. Saugerty has just hired a security company. I have no idea what type of background or what type of training that they have, but the school districts can do that. They can hire a hired gun if they want to. As far as the mentorship part of how we've lost so many generations in this profession and the climb of reform on this mountain that I've been on climbing for the last 4 years, the only way we can change that behavior and that the mentality between law enforcement and the communities to serve is that we do have an SRO program and people can communicate and feel comfortable with going to an officer. Every time we show up, it's a negative thing. When I was in uniform as a trooper, and I understand that, but there are people that do bad things. These SROs are not the SROs that are going to be doing any discipline in schools. It's against the training that they went through, and it is a different type of training. But I do respect your opinions, and I appreciate the time that you have given me. So thank you.
So, in terms of relationship building, and I've suggested this to the chief in New Pulse that we have a lot of dads that volunteer to coach basketball, soccer, you name it. There's nothing preventing a group of law enforcement officers from, you know, coming out and coaching basketball or coaching soccer or coaching football so that they can build those relationships organically with the students. I don't think we need to hire somebody and put them in the schools to build that relationship.
We can agree to disagree.
Yes.
I respect that. I think this is a subject that I think it's a personal decision for certain people. These are their children that are going to these schools. These are their school boards that they elected, and I think they have a right to decide if they want to hire an SRO or go with a private gun. And it's being paid by the school district. And as constituents of this county, I have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, understood.
Anybody else?
Just a point of clarification. Executive Order 203 was signed by Governor Cuomo in 2020. So I don't know. We also operated under that executive order and formed a reform commission. The executive office was charged with that. So I'm not sure about recent communications. This is not a city thing. This is a state thing that was done over 3 years ago. So I just wanted to point that out for clarification.
Thank you. I'm going to put my opinion in as an educator that spent 20 years in the school. So I feel like I should speak on it. And when I grew up, we didn't have social workers. We didn't have speech language pathologists. We didn't have OT in school. We didn't have adaptive PE. We do now. We've evolved. The SROs in our school, in no disrespect, are there during the school hours. They're not coaching after school or coaching in the evening. They are there as a constant. And when I say that those relationships make a difference in that role, they make a difference. And I can speak firsthand. When I sat in that SRO training, we went around the room and introduced ourselves, and I was in the back row. During a little break, one of the students, or I shouldn't say students, one of the officers came up to me, and he was one of my students in Marlboro, who is now an SRO officer. And what he said was that the officer, when he went to school there, made a big impact on his life. So I just wanted to share that. And again, reiterate that as elected officials, we really need to take into consideration our constituents and what they want. And the overwhelming majority has said that they, at least speaking for Miller Middle School, that they want an SRO. So, any other discussion? Questions? Okay. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll move to adopt the resolution.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstentions. The resolution is passed 3-1. Any new business? Any old business? Sheriff?
The centralized arraignment part court.
Oh, yes.
If you want to, I'll be at the office at 8:30 tomorrow morning where the judges are going to show up and they started construction on it. If you have time to stop by, please do. We continue to have a lot of issues with some of the judges. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but we continue to have issues with writing orders of protection on napkins, which we can't accept. And that's why having a centralized arraignment part is extremely important for streamlining the criminal justice system in this county. And I'm looking forward to this opening up. And I'm, of course, we're going to have to put this through this committee again, get permission from the State Commission on Corrections for a holding cell at the facility, and the input of this committee. I would appreciate it if you would come by and look and give your recommendations. And but I know it's short views, but if you have time at 8:30 tomorrow morning to view the beginning of the CAP court, they already started building it, and the judges are going to come in and give their input of what they like and what they don't like. So thank you.
Very good.
I can defer to a committee member who has something to say.
Oh, no, sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to share this with the assembly here, the committee. This is a resource guide for those returning from prison or jail to Ulster County, provided by the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Catskills. Mm-hmm. And they've offered this for us to share. So maybe the probation department wants to take a look, the sheriff.
Do you have just the one copy?
That's the one I have, but okay. Please distribute it.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can we request copies for each of us?
Do we have this? I don't know, but the person on top, I'm sure, would be happy to tell you the person whose name is written.
Yeah, I'd like a copy from Al.
Yeah. I can connect you to her. Yeah.
Please do. Mm-hmm.
So that's anything else before we adjourn?
Move to adjourn?
Yeah. Move to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thanks. I think I forgot to check the box on one of my votes.
Yeah, I'll ask.
Oh, I'm going to get it.